We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
So thank you for giving me that information. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Excuse me. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Ezra Randall. How are you this morning, sir?
Doing fine.
It's good to see you again.
It's good to be seen.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. We have a sponsor today. Grants Auction and Realty is our Facebook sponsor for today. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Father God, we just want to honor you and say thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to talk about dreams and visions. So, Father God, we just pray that you would help us to have an open heart, a teachable spirit, to receive the word from the Lord. And we just pray that you bless everyone. Continue to minister and meet every need. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm excited to dig in and hear more about your title, Understanding Your Dreams and Visions.
Yes. Okay. So, I didn't know I was going to be back on so soon. I was here last week on Thursday, and we're here today. So, I'm still learning. I don't know everything. And I know it make me look like I don't know what I'm doing and make me look unimportant, but I just have to walk in the spirit of humility and just, you know, there's a certain time someone may call me about a dream and I may say, I'm going to have to pray about this. Sometime is later on that day, or sometime is later on, it's the next day. Sometimes I have been, analyzing a dream and I get all the information and I just don't know. And so sometime 3 o'clock that next morning, it's like I stand straight up in the bed like, whoa, I got the message of that. And I'm like, okay, I'll get to share that with them. So it's amazing how sometime things come. So what we want to talk about today, I want to give a good foundation about dreams and visions. So a lot of people feel that when they have a dream and you don't dream, they feel like, oh, you don't dream. It's like, oh, I dream every night. Like that's supposed to be a compliment. And they feel sorry for you because you're not dreaming. And you don't remember your dream. To set the record straight, dreams are just part of the journey. So the Lord will give us dreams and visions as a solution for everyday problems. So what dreams come alongside of, and I want to, and this is my application in my format that I live by. Everybody have their own report card. So this is just mine that works for me. We see here Genesis 1 and 28. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what this is saying is that the Lord want, how can I say this? Your dreams come to enhance and bring, allow you to better communicate with God. But the foundation of our life is that the Lord wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to have a good grip on life. Mm-hmm. Number two, he wants us to increase. He wants us to multiply in knowledge, wisdom, understanding. He wants us to, everybody, I'm number 11. So, but back in the day when we grew up in the early, late 50s and early 60s, all the parents, the mothers were having like 16 and 17 kids and 21 kids. And so the Lord's families were popular back in the 50s and 60s. And he tells us to multiply. So there's a lot of different application. But he wants us to have more than just children. He wants us to increase in our knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then we see replenish. One of the words I like for replenish is to maintain what you have. So the three things is to be faithful and fruitful, to increase, you know, in a healthy way, and to maintain what you have. Now, we find all that from Genesis 1 and 28. There's a lot of people on TV, Facebook, and I try to be an open person. I try to have an open mind. When I do teach, I try to remember my teaching must be healthy. Because I can get pretty weird sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I can get pretty weird. I'm just a Pentecostal headbanger.
I like to call it peculiar.
Come on. I'm just a Pentecostal boy from the 50s, and they said, is that different than the Pentecost from today? You bet it is. Okay? But as I teach people that don't dance like me, not radical, I walk pews, you know what I'm saying? I'm a headbanger. I mean, I play the guitar like there's no tomorrow. I sing, I praise, I worship. But I'm not going to condemn you if you don't want to praise God with music, or if you don't feel that dancing is necessary. Hey, we can still go out and have a fish dinner and talk about different things, mm-hmm. because I have need of you. You see what I'm saying? Yes. So this teaching is a healthy teaching. And no matter how healthy I want it to be, sometime it would still, people would get offended, you know. But I don't mean to offend nobody. This is my report card that I'm giving you today, okay? We see in the book of Revelation that when we stand before Jesus, he's looking for those that have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I'm going to give you my personal testimony. Okay, so the first thing is that we have to have a great foundation. And our foundation must be established and developed. I love those two words. Establish is a outside work. Development is an inside work. A lot of time when there's a little preemie, a little baby that's born too early, they don't send that baby home. They keep it at the hospital because the baby needs some development on the inside. Their lungs gonna have to be strengthened and all that. So I love the word develop. So I'm still yet developing in God. Mm-hmm. You know, some areas I'm still fragile. You know what I'm saying? So God is developing me. On the other hand, the establishment is an outside. So he's establishing my foundation. You know, I'm radical, you know, and so forth. So number one is to have a good foundation according to Genesis chapter 1 and 28. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to increase. I'm going to multiply in knowledge and wisdom. I'm going to learn how to treat you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife, been married for I don't know, we got married in 85 or somewhere around in there. And you know what? I'm still finding things out about that woman. You would think you've been married almost 40 years. You should know. But you know what? You just have to be open. She teaches me stuff every day. Yeah. My kids teach me stuff. It's, you know, they got a saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's just that the dog have been given a bone, and he's not going to dance to your music. You either give me the bone or I'm walking away. But anyway, so that's number one. My instruction from God is what I named that. Number two is my contract of salvation. Say that, my contract of salvation. Okay. My contract of salvation. My contract of salvation, I find this in Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. This is my contract of salvation. And matter of fact, a lot of time we were at Gateway Assemblies of God, I was preaching, and a young lady, well, not a young lady, but a lady wanted to get saved. And this is the pattern that I introduced her to Christ, is Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Now, a lot of people refer to this as the armor. I refer, my application, this is my contract of me being saved. Okay, salvation is a contract. Salvation is an invitation that we have to make reservation for salvation. So there's an invitation for you to be saved today. So for the sake of time, and we'll probably get more into dreams in the second session, but I want to give a really firm foundation of how dreams can be healthy. And if you're not having dreams, it could be that you're not on a sure foundation of God. Okay, so what is my contract of salvation? Basically, it says, Ephesians 6 and 10 says, last of all, I want to remind you all that your strength comes from the Lord's mighty power within you. Verse 11 says, put on God's armor, so that you may be able to stand safe against the strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not wrestling against people made of flesh and blood, but against a person without bodies, the evil rulers of an unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rules this world, and against huge number of wicked spirits in a spiritual world. So our fight is not flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and spiritual wickedness. So verse 13 of Ephesians, it goes on to say, so use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy, and whenever he attacks, and when it's all over, you will be still standing up. So, we're talking about salvation. you don't have to go to the altar to receive salvation. A lot of people say, well, you got to be in church and you got to go down to the altar. That is just simply not all true. Because the Lord will meet you in the cotton patch. There's a lot of truckers out there right now that's accepting Jesus Christ, driving that big old 18-wheeler, accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's not your geographical location, but it's the position of your heart, your mind. So how does a person get saved? The first armor of salvation and this contract, an everlasting contract, is, but it says, but to do this, and this translation is a little different. I mean, some people like King James and others like, NIV. Verse 14 says, but do this, you need the strong belt of truth. This is the beginning of your contract of accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You have to believe with your heart, Romans, I think it's 10 and 9. Mm-hmm. You have to believe with your heart. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he came and he died. Okay? All right? And you can follow that with baptism. Mm-hmm. Because baptism is that, it's the death, burial, and resurrection that old Ezra have died, submerged. Now the new Ezra is here. This is part of the contract. Let's do it all. Okay. Anything get before truth? Say that with me. Anything that comes before truth.
Anything that comes before truth.
Is out of place.
Is out of place.
Whew. I'll let that sink in. Mm. Because the Bible teaches us what you understand about the truth will bring liberation to your mind, to your spirit, and to your soul. Whew. Glory! We're talking about getting saved. We're getting saved today. We're gonna renew that contract. And it gave me great joy to lead this lady to the Lord at Gateway. My God. It's not just about saying words, empty words. Mm-hmm. It's about a contract of the truth of God. Yes. Woo! Glory to God. Mm-hmm. This is the first piece of salvation that you put on. The armor of truth. And I'm here to tell you, once you get truth where it's supposed to be, you can't deceive me. Right. You can't tell me that God is not real. You can't not tell me, oh my God, oh my God. When you get a hold of truth, you're a day late and a dollar short. What's your thought on that?
Truth is, this is the truth, and anything that's not this is not the truth, and that'll straighten out your mind.
Wow. Jesus says, I'm the truth, I'm the way, the truth, and who?
The light.
The light. Whoa! Hey! No man cometh to me but by the Father. What's your thoughts on that, Monica? The truth. This is the first piece of salvation. Now, we're not there yet. But you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to the ending of your salvation, your contract. But tell us, what do you think about the truth?
Truth is very freeing. Mm-hmm. For myself, I had a lot of twisted truths.
Oh, my God.
And God, when I quit lying to myself about certain things, and was willing to admit, hey, I don't know it all, God. Mm-hmm. I need your help. Mm-hmm. Because I was in a place that was very twisted.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
And I needed some hardcore truth. I needed the truth. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest twistedness that I had was, I had this image of God that was so wrong. I thought that God was this big, mean-looking Zeus guy sitting on the throne with lightning bolts in his hand, just waiting on Monica to mess up.
Right.
And then he was going to, you know what
waiting
I mean?
Waiting for an opportunity to zap you.
And I found out, when I hit the ground and I began, when I was planning murder, and the Lord told me I would not come back from that. And it did something inside my heart. It changed me. Mm-hmm. And I had a desire for true truth.
Amen.
I wanted the untwisted to be gone. And I wanted to really know who God was.
Yes.
And I wanted to know his true character, not the character that I imagined he had.
Right.
And He told me when I came to that place, Ezra, he told me, I want you to read the New Testament. I want you to get to know the one I sent to save you.
Amen. The Savior.
I want you to get to know the one that made a way for you to come back to a right relationship with me.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I want you to read the Old Testament with an open heart so you can see my true character.
Amen.
And man, that changed my whole life.
Amen.
To really see God as the loving, faithful Father who desires all of us, all of us, to come back home to Him.
Amen. That's good. Thank you for sharing. Whew. Wow. That's good. That's good. I think, wow. When I think of His goodness and how much He loved, you know, a lot of people were raised up in the 40s, 50s, to accept Jesus because they would preach hell and brimstone.
Mm-hmm.
But really, a person who gets saved because out of fear, you're shortchanging yourself. We should get saved and born again out of love and respect. And so let me go on. There's so much meat here on the bone. Wow. So that's the first piece of garment. Anything that comes before truth is what, Gina?
Lies.
Out of place.
Oh, out of place, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at the second piece of the contract of salvation. The breastplate of God's approval. Woo! Wow. Righteousness has been imputed unto me. So once I believe that God sent His Son, Jesus died on the cross for my salvation, He redeemed me. If I believe that, now righteousness has been imputed unto me. Now I'm heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ.
That's right.
When I was in my sin, He died for me. I didn't have to get born again because all of my righteousness is as a filthy rag. Oh my God, it was all Him. It was a gift. Oh, glory. I have been made righteous. Remember we're talking about the equity? One of the Greek meanings for righteousness means equity. I now have equity in the Lord. I just got saved 3 minutes ago, and now the whole kingdom is mine. Like, what? Yes. Oh, my God. What's the third piece of the contract of salvation? Verse 15 says, and wear the shoes that are able to speed you up as you preach the good news of peace with God. So I remember back in the early 60s, we grew up on a dirt road. And sometime this one particular, I'm not going to call her name, but he got in trouble and he ran off because he knew he was going to be disciplined. You know, back in the 60s, we got whipped with switches and belts and whatever they could find, you know.
They make you weak.
You're right. And so this guy ran away from home. And one of the siblings spoke up and said, he's out there and we don't know where he's at. Mama, if let me go and tell him if he can come home if you don't whoop him. She was a negotiator because mom and was upset because the boy had done something and he knew he was in trouble, so he ran away from home, but he was scared. But, you know, but he was wanting to come home, but he knew the discipline he faced. So the little girl, the sister negotiated with mom, if he come home, will you not whoop him? Yeah. And so the little girl was the mediator and said, hey, mom says you can come home and she won't whoop you. She won't be mad at you. This is what Jesus did for us. Truth,
amen.
Righteousness, and peace.
Mm.
So he says, Ezra, you can call me now since I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can accept my righteousness and the Father won't be mad at you. You can come home. Really? With no consequences. Really? You see the parallels with the boy got to come home. He was threatened. You do that again. You know what I'm saying? So we see the similarities that the boy get to come home, the prodigal get to come home, and this is a picture of salvation. Mm-hmm. The armor of God is a picture of God's salvation. We get to come home, ease in the door, come in and sit down, and you know what I'm saying, and try to walk in grace and be gracefully and be humble. Okay, for the sake of time, let's go on. So that's three pieces of the contract that we have in salvation: truth, righteousness, and God is not mad. Now we have peace, and now I want to go and tell people that, hey, he did it for me. I think he'll do it for you too. He's not mad at you. Have you made peace with the Father? And a lot of time when people are on their deathbed, they say, have he made peace with God? Because you don't want to die. See, you can go to heaven being sick. You can go to heaven without having dreams and visions. But you can't go to heaven without salvation.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to the fourth piece of the armor. In every battle, you need faith as a shield. Wow. To stop the, well, page two, to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. The Bible tells me the just shall live by faith. And the way salvation comes in, I'm saved by faith through grace. Woo! Hallelujah. Boy, we're getting saved today. You're getting saved in another way that you probably didn't know. This is scripture. We are showing you scripture how to come into a contract of salvation. Because somebody right now is saying, I don't feel saved. I don't know if, Mom, how do I know I'm saved? Is it a certain, do I supposed to, I'm confused. I mean, you get this salvation like this, you know that you know that you know knows that you're saved. Okay. So that's the fourth piece, right? We have two more pieces here to put on, and we're going to be complete. Okay. So, verse 17 says, and you will need the helmet of salvation. Notice the helmet of salvation comes after the truth, after the righteousness, after the peace, and after faith. Now you're allowed to put the helmet of salvation. Let this mind be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. I am now saved. I am now born again. I get to put the helmet of salvation. I don't have to have that mental madness.
Right.
I don't have to have those meltdowns. And if I do, I have a helper now. Okay. So those are five pieces of armor that we have placed on to be saved. I'm saved now. Okay. Now, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is what helps me to maintain my mind on Christ, to know that I'm fighting a fight of faith. As Apostle Paul says, I've fought a good fight. See, the Word of God, you see the parallels here? The Word of God allows me as a person with salvation, God's salvation, to fight the good fight of faith, to know that I am at peace because of the righteousness has been imputed unto me, because I believe the only true Son of God. See, it works forwards and it works backwards. Now, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray all the time. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit wishes. Plead with Him, reminding Him of your needs, and keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere. We're going to stop right there. So if you take those steps, we're talking about dreams and visions, but we're more than anything, I feel that this teaching is necessary because somebody needs to get saved today. Mm-hmm. And even if you got saved from Romans, confessing your sin, and all that, that's good. This is proof that Romans is who he say he is. Okay? And so when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, I thank you that you are my true God. I thank you. I want to thank you that I am the righteousness of you today. I'm going to represent you today. See, salvation is not something that you have only. It's something that you become and you witness to other people. So how does my salvation work? I mean, if it's so good, I can't contain it. I just go and share, basically, oh my God. Woo! Basically, salvation is your testimony of these pieces that we put on. And I just want to share with you that, have you heard about a man named Jesus? Wow. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm here to tell you that he wants you to become righteous today. He wants you to have peace in your mind. You see what I'm saying? He wants you to start fighting with faith. Mm-hmm. He wants to be your salvation. He wants you to know that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. You see what I'm saying? He wants you to be a word Christian. He wants you to speak the word. He wants you to live the word. He wants you to pray the word. Do you see how this salvation, then it becomes a daily, it becomes part of your daily activity. Okay? So that's the foundation of, let me know when I got to cut off, because we have some other things I want to share with you.
We can take a break now.
Okay.
We do have a few this morning.